This morning, I would like to present some of the word to all of our hearts in regard to why we cherish our God, because we do cherish Him. Why do we cherish our God? And of course, the scriptural basis. Now, we're only going to touch on some things, okay? So I'm sure as we go over some of these things, you're going to be thinking, oh, this one and that one. Oh, she could have shared this one and that one. That's right. There's like, you can't cover it, okay? How can you cover the God of all? So I'd like to start with Webster's definition of cherish. Well, first of all, the opposite of cherish means to despise, abhor, hate, detest, or loathe. We don't want to do any of that. And cherish, we're familiar with one definition in Webster is the kind of cherish like you see when Paul talked about how he took care of the believers and cherished them as a nursing mother does her own child. And that means to love and have affection and protect. That's one definition. There's another one that is to hold dear or feel or show affection. It's another definition. And I thought this one, as far as our English language goes in expressing what it is to cherish someone or something, hit the nail on the head. It means to entertain or harbor in the mind deeply or resolutely. Like, it's in there, and it's staying there, and we're not letting it go. And we want to cherish, and we do cherish our Father like that, our God. Now, we cherish Him not only for what He does, but for who He is, His character, who He is intrinsically, the nature of God. So we're going to look at some of the things He does, and we're going to look at who He is, some of the things that He is. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 145, and I'd like to suggest that you put your ribbon in there, if you have a ribbon or whatever, because we'll come back to this area a few times. So we cherish Him not just for what He does, but for who He is. And look at Psalm 145, verse 5. Wait till you get there. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. So here we see both the nature of God mentioned and His acts. And that's why we cherish Him, because of who He is and what He does, but not just for what He does. Sometimes it's really easy to cherish God when you're in a circumstance and you get your answer, boom, and there's the answer. It's like, oh, this is great. But we cherish Him overall, you know, when we consider the greatness, the bigness of Him, His mighty, mighty works. So let's start. These are some of the things He does. Again, it's a snippet, okay? A little titch, like my sister-in-law Chris says. It's a titch about what God does, His works. Look at verse 8. Here we are. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. That's an act. And His tender mercies are over all His work. They completely cover all His work. His works are met multitudes of works. Look at verse 14. The Lord upholds all that fall. That's a work, right? And raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is close to all that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear or in reverence of Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. He preserves all that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all the flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. So we see that God does many different works. He nourishes. He helps those that are bowed down. He hears the cries of people. He answers the cries of His people. Look at, we're going to go to Psalm 104. And you know, when I was going through this, I was picking, I was like, a verse over here, verse over there, verse over here. So pick your verses too while we're going through this, because I'm sure your minds are going like, yeah, and it also says in such and such a place. And that's exciting, because that shows us that we do cherish our God. I mean, it's in there. It's not just, oh, well, here I am on Sunday, or here I am on Monday night, or I go to a meeting and I listen. This is our very life. So that, to me, that's exciting, because I know, I'm going through the verses, I'm like, yeah, somebody's going to say, you know, you could have shared this verse, and I'm like, yes, that's right, yes. So, let's see, verse 2. These are some of the things that God does and has done. Who covers yourself with light as a with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his chambers in the water, who make the clouds his chariot, who walks upon the wings of the wind. They're all figures of speech, we know that. But what does this show us about him? Who makes his angel spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which you have founded for them. You have set a bound that they may not pass over, that they may not turn again to cover the earth. Remember the flood? Mm-hmm. Well, God's works make sure that doesn't happen again. Big works. He sends the springs into the valley which run among the hills, and at the same time he waters everything. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Such works. Wow. Fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that makes the glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he had planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, and fir trees are her house, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies or the badgers. He appointed the season. The sun knows his going down. He makes darkness and it is night, wherein do all the beasts of the forest creep, or wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep, sorry. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun arises, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goes forth into his work, into his labor, until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of the riches. And then goes on to talk about the sea and the innumerable creatures and creeping things. God created the ordered form of the universe. Talks about he calls the stars by names. He's named all the stars. How many stars are there? You know, we've heard estimates. His works are just something that enamor us to him. They just draw our hearts to a point where he is the most important thing, the most important one in our lives. Not only does he heal the sick, does he raise the dead, does he comfort the grieving, he speaks to us. He's incredible. He's just incredible. And I would like to look at Ezekiel. We're going to go to Ezekiel twice today. So it goes Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Genesis, Exodus. What is it? You know where Ezekiel goes?
Mm-hmm. What chapter?
Chapter 37. Ezekiel 37.
Chapter, I'm sorry.
37. Okay, now you're there. Just keep your finger there, and you're going to go to a New Testament reference first. But I want you to be able to find this, because we're going to split a verse in half. Okay. So the first New Testament reference is John 3:16 and 17. Now, the reason I'm going to do this, will be obvious. God in his works made the new birth available. How much work was involved in the plan of redemption and in bringing the Christ into fruition? How many works did God do throughout? We read some of them last week where he visited his people. But how many works has God done in order that this great work, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the new birth, could be available to us? So, in John, could you read, John, will you read the 16 and 17, please?
Sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Thank you. Now, next go to another New Testament real quick, is in 1 Corinthians 15. So he did the works for this new birth, right, that we could have, that we could have eternal spirit in us. And then on top of that, the work he will do in the future is to have Christ return. And then we will be forever with the Lord, holy like him, and to the glory of his praise for eternity. And that's in for chapter 15, verse 57, I think I want. 57. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That day is coming. That is the works of God. Everything that he works to get us to that point. Now let's go back a few verses to 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay. Now how's he going to do that? Can't even fathom it, but we will be changed. Another of God's mighty works. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, I'm putting my paper here, and we're going to Ezekiel, chapter 37. The dead in Christ will rise, and they're going to put on incorruption. So this is an example of one of God's works that will come to pass, and it's a prophecy about the dead. Chapter 37, the righteous dead. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. I would have been, Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. What a work, he commands the wind. Mm-hmm. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. So, a lot in this verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I don't know where there's a description about how he does the change, but we're going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. So these mighty, mighty, mighty works of God that he has done, that he does now, and that he continues to do, as well as those sweet, sweet, sweet things that are just private and small to one small person here, just one little person on this earth. Those are the things that we cherish in our hearts, the works that he does, that we hold it so tightly that it keeps him first in our lives. Now we're going to look at who he is, because we cherish him not only for what he does, but who he is, his nature. And again, this is not all of it. Okay. So in Exodus chapter 3, John, can you go there?
Sure.
And it will be verse 13. And can you go to Daniel chapter 7? And I'll tell you what verses when we read. So the first characteristic of God that we're going to consider is in these verses. Would you read them, please?
Sure. Well, just
13 and 14. Sorry.
13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you.
Great characteristic. He is that he is. That's something that you see all the things that he did for the children of Israel, but intrinsically he is Jehovah. He is God that he is. He has no beginning, no end. Nobody thought him up. Nobody organized him. Nobody said, well, I got a plan. So he is. I am that I am. Daniel chapter 7. I thought we should look at these references because I refer to God sometimes like this, and I thought you would like to read the references. 9, 13, and 22. 9, I'll read
that. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire.
13.
I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
And 22.
Until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
Yeah, so those are prophecies. And Ancient of Days, that's one thing that God is intrinsically. He's Ancient of Days. Can you imagine what's stored in that ancientness of everything that he's done, his incredible wisdom? You know, it's just, it's something. And we cherish that. We can actually talk to that Ancient of Days. That's amazing. And you know what else? He talks back. Wow. Anyway, Psalm 145. My ribbon there, my handy-dandy ribbon. 145. He is great. He is good. He is merciful. Okay, we'll start with he is great. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So if you search something out, you go to find it, right? You keep looking until you find it. Generally, you find what you're looking for, and so to speak, in life. But God's greatness is so great, you can go looking for it and you can't even find it all. He is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. He is good and he is merciful. Psalm 86. Verse 5. He is good and merciful. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. He is merciful. We see mercy all throughout the word. We're all very familiar with that. And we're all familiar that he's good. And that's why he's so close to us, why he's so deep in our hearts, why we cherish him so much. He is majestic and all-powerful. This is 1 Chronicles, one reference. 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 11, majestic and all-powerful. Verse 11, here he is. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. I tried to find that verse. I couldn't find it. I meant to ask you, or maybe somebody else knows. You know, the verse that talks about God's robe is so big that it touches down.
I believe it's in Isaiah.
Yeah, I'll have to look if anybody knows where it was. It shows the bigness. God is over all. He's majestic. He's powerful. He's over all. Psalm 86. Oh, no, Psalm 29. Sorry. Psalm 29. There's another one. First one. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Well, he doesn't have a voice, so it's a figure of speech. But you can just imagine how full of majesty and power that voice is of God, of the God that's over all of everything, time, space, everything. He's compassionate, he is truth, and he is full of grace. That's Psalm 86. He is compassionate, he is truth, he is full of grace. This is just his nature. Huh, what a nature. Verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. That's him. He is just, Proverbs 16:11. Proverbs 16:11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. So there's a scale up there. We've pointed it out before. A balance, and there were merchants that would put a weight on one side, and then if you're buying, I don't know, you're buying a box of pretzels, they'd weigh out your pretzels on the other side, and you would have, you know, you want a 1 pound box, so this is supposed to be a 1 pound weight, but merchants would cheat on it. So they could get a little more money for a little less stuff. But God's justice is always fair. It's always right. All the stones of his bag that were used as weights were exact. He is just. Like, there's no getting around it. And that will play out in eternity in a really big way, his justness towards us and towards others. That's for sure. Well, okay, he's just. He's righteous, Psalm 11. Psalm 11, verse 7. How beautifully he puts this. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. The righteous Lord loves righteousness. Is there any doubt that righteousness is part of his nature? No doubt. Psalm 145 again. And verse 17? Yeah. 45, 17. Mm-hmm. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And we will see he's holy again in Leviticus chapter 20. Verse 26. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. So he is holy. And we will be holy in eternity. How about that? Because we have to be. God wants holiness by him, because he is what pure holiness is. That's a big one to wrap your head around, too. I mean, they're all big. Holy. His understanding is infinite, and he has great power. He is great. Psalm 147 again, verse 5. His understanding is infinite. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And when they shall speak of thy might, of the might of thy terrible acts, I will declare thy greatness. Oh, Psalm 140, that's wrong. 147. That's silly me. That's not it. Well, Psalm 147, 5, sorry. Great is our Lord, and of great power, and his understanding is infinite. Boom. That's his nature. Mm-hmm. His understanding of things is infinite. You know, it just goes on and on. It's like the song that does not end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Okay. It just does not end. So his understanding is infinite, he has great power, and he is great. And he is great means he's large in magnitude and in intensity, and here it specifically refers to the nature of God. He is great in importance. It's used of God himself. He is great. He is wise and immortal, 1 Timothy 1:17. There's nothing mortal about God at all. Somebody gets there, can you read it? 1 Timothy 1:17. Go ahead, Mary.
Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. God is love. John 4:16, right? God is love. 1 John 1:5, God is light. Right. Romans 11. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who's been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That is the nature of God. His ways are past finding out. Amazing. And it says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. So these things don't waver with God. You know, we do okay for a little while, and then we, you know, like fall off the cliff for a while, or, you know, at least skip our, you know, skin our knees or something. But God never changes. So it's no wonder that we are enamored with him, that we cherish him, that he is the most important thing in the depth of our heart because of his, all of his wonderful works, which his word enumerates, and we'll have all eternity to understand more of this, and because of his incredible nature. There aren't even words to describe his nature. He tells us what his nature is like, and you know, it behooves us to hold fast to those words that he uses regarding his nature, because he sure knows who he is. So anyway, I thought that would be fun to look at, and that's it.